It's time for the weekly edition of Legacy Living with Jeff Kennedy. Tips to help you grow, protect, and conserve your wealth for generations to come.
Talk Radio 930 WTAD, good morning and welcome to Legacy Living Financial Strategies. I'm your host, Jeff Kennedy, alongside Scott Hardy in studio, and my buddy, my partner, my new radio sidekick, Jared Wicks, over in Lafayette, Indiana, in our office, our Kennedy Wealth Group office over in Lafayette. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning, Jeff.
Yep. We're back together again, back in the saddle with Legacy Living Financial Strategies. We've got financial news and analysis and strategies to help you protect your wealth, which is going to be an important thing here in the coming months as volatility has reared its ugly head. We've got we had one of the best Januarys on record. Some of the reading I was doing today, it was interesting analogy to a year that people will remember. Not for this reason, but this was a stellar January back in January of '87. That was a stellar January as well, and everybody's like, "Oh, this is great." But you know what? Nobody remembers January of '87. People remember October of '87.
Exactly.
Scott was already grinning ear to ear with knowing where I was going with that. So, Jared, the volatility is back with a vengeance, so to speak. Everybody was loving January, hating on February, and now not so much fans of March either. How did the markets do this week?
Well, short answer, Jeff, would be not well. It has
been
a while since we've seen a week like this. The major indices down several percent, Dow Jones down about 3.7, S&P 500 down almost 6, leaving about the only thing positive for the year. NASDAQ still in positive territory for the year, and U.S. growth stocks are still slightly positive, but overall, pretty red week for U.S. and world indices.
Yeah, and of course we don't necessarily pay attention to these things on a weekly or monthly basis or that sort of thing, but it is instructive in that we look at trends, and it's been a fairly negative trend of the last few weeks. And so I think people are starting to maybe wake up and pay attention. Hopefully they are. I mean, even so, these big numbers, Jared, don't mean a lot in terms of like you see the Dow down 700 or whatever on a particular day this past week. Overall, we're not even down. It's not even a 10% correction yet, is it?
No, not even close. I remember, 700 points used to be a huge deal,
yeah.
But now, I walk by, see it on the TV, is like, oh, well, moving on to the next project. and when you look at slightly, you say we don't want to look at, too short term. If you look at rolling 12 month periods, most of our, domestic stock indices are still up, double digits. So it's been a while since we've seen this much bleeding, since we've seen sellers, mm-hmm. Have this much control of the market. But maybe we need a reminder that there are two sides to this, to this story, the conversation between buyers and sellers.
Well, yeah, it's been a long run, and this bull market is, as they say, long in the tooth. There are a lot of things that are pointing to, a top maybe having been put in or getting close. We're going to talk today with Steve Blumenthal. We've got him lined up to come on and give us some of his input because he's fresh off a visit out to the Strategic Investors Conference in San Diego, Scott. He's got lots and lots of, he just posted the second of his six-week series on, what he learned out at that conference. And if Steve Blumenthal's writing 6 weeks worth, and I mean, there's a lot to it. There's practically a book, and that's only like two-thirds of this week's
wow.
post. So there's lots to get into, and some of it's fairly wonky, but there's good takeaways for individual investors, mom and pop out here on Main Street, and what they need to be thinking about here as we approach the peak. We're not in recession yet. There's not really any indicator on the near-term horizon, that is within 9 months or so, but certainly we know the business cycle hasn't changed. What goes up must come down, and vice versa. Things revert to the mean, so to speak, and that will happen again this time. It's just a matter of when, and timing is difficult, but the writing's on the wall, so we're going to discuss that in depth with Steve this morning when we're able to get him on here in just a little bit. One of the things we want to be sure that folks here are saying, though, Jared, is while we sound like purveyors of doom and gloom, we're just pointing out the data, right? We're just talking to folks about getting real about not only market risk but tax rate risk and all that sort of stuff. And the inputs have been put in for some pretty negative economic and financial consequences coming down the road. But we've got strategies we can use. We could stress test folks' portfolios and help them understand what is likely to happen in the next recession with their market investments and help put them in a position for a better ride.
That's right, Jeff. The science portion of portfolio management is pretty cut and dry. You look at all the numbers, you punch all these quant data, but the art is it is the part that keeps it very interesting. You don't know what, you know, all of your other investors are going to do from time to time. So we want to keep a portfolio that is nimble, like you said, and not, you know, subject to the whims of the market on a daily basis. You want to stay invested. You have to stay in the game. Otherwise, bury your money in the backyard. But we've seen as, you know, as we go through more, market cycles, the market, when it moves down much more quickly. And, you know, to try to time it on your own or try to ride out these ups and downs, just not efficient at all.
Yeah. And so, you know, this is what we've been preaching at Kennedy Wealth Group for a long, long time. We, folks come in the office and they present us their, very well diversified. And I use that sort of in air quotes, you know, mutual fund portfolio, and we take that thing and run it through what's called a comparative portfolio performance analysis. We kind of look at really what do you own in there. We talk about, Scott, how truly diversified those six or seven different American funds, mm-hmm. mutual funds are, or Fidelity or what have you, and people are shocked at what kind of drawdown they could potentially face if the next drawdown occurs, right? So,
yeah, I mean, I can just speak from I'm not anybody certified, just a normal investor, and it's like you realize that it's like, you know, even though they have all these fine sounding names and they sound all different, they're basically in the same barrel, more or less.
Yeah, in a macro sense, kind of the same. And Jared, you can clarify this if I'm saying this wrong, but essentially, it's all the same, or lots of the same asset classes, like stock, for instance. You know, you got a bunch of different kinds of stock, but you got large cap growth and mid cap and small cap value and emerging market, but it's all stock. Not really changing up the asset class there too much. I mean, it's diversified across stock, but we saw what happened to all the different stock indexes, whether it be blue chips to large cap growth to small cap value, right? In 2008 and 9, Jared, those things kind of correlated to one and went all down.
Yeah, over different time periods, the different asset classes, like you said, small cap, large cap, growth, value, they will move, they should be moving differently and for slightly different reasons. When you mentioned a particular fund family, their American funds, I've recently done some research, look at their all of their stock funds. There are, you know, long-term annual correlations. You're looking at 90 to 95% correlation, which means, you know, when one is moving one direction, the others likely are too. And, you know, even outside those U.S. Stocks, the other asset classes, like you mentioned, yeah, when things really go south, they go south together, and they go south very quickly.
Yeah, so what we're basically saying, Scott, is folks should get this analysis done and see what else is out there. Because if they're just doing the same thing they were doing in 08 or in 2000, they're probably going to get the same results the next time around. And as we'll see when we talk to Steve Blumenthal today, the numbers are fairly ugly. We've even got the San Francisco Fed saying, and this is the Federal Reserve, this is a member bank and the Federal Reserve saying, hey, over the kind of next 10-year time horizon, equities are going to be flat. I mean, that's the Fed, who their prime objective going back to Greenspan has been to keep equity markets up.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying, don't expect that going forward these next 10 years. We'll delve into that with Steve. When we come back from this break, we got to take a break right now. And when we come back, we'll have Steve Blumenthal. Y'all have heard him on the show many times. We love his perspective, his take on things. And he's got some great information back from John Malden's Strategic Investors Conference in San Diego. So stay tuned for Steve Blumenthal. Scott and Jared and I will be back with you here in just a moment after this break. You're listening to Legacy Living Financial Strategies on Talk Radio 930 WTAD.
You kind of
sorry
get into
about that.
That. No, don't be sorry.
Just chilling on a rainy day, watching the wind rip the flags off the flagpole out here at the WTAD studios in Uptown Quincy. No, the district, I'm sorry.
In the district, yes.
In the district, yeah.
A rare east wind today, so.
Yeah, how about that? Good morning. You're listening to Legacy Living Financial Strategies. Thanks for sticking with us. My name is Jeff Kennedy. I'm here with Jared Wicks and Scott Hardy. And, you know, one thing I forgot to mention at the end of the break, Scott, as we were coming up against that hard commercial interruption, you know, folks can get that analysis by going out to our website, kennedywealthgroup.com, reach out to us, set up a time to get that second opinion. You know, I'd just say, do you trust your current advisor enough to get a second opinion? I mean, it's a simple question. And if you're getting a little antsy now when you've seen the Dow Jones sell off 1,400 points in a week, maybe you want to take another look at how you can diversify your portfolio, and that's what we specialize at Kennedy Wealth Group. So kennedywealthgroup.com or just call us up here in town, 217-221-1300. That's 221-1300, and we can do that stress test on your portfolio. All right, so I want to bring our guest on this morning, guys. We got Steve Blumenthal lined up. He's graciously agreed to come on. He's been traveling a lot. He was in San Diego a couple weeks ago at this conference, and then he was just up in New York City yesterday afternoon for another media appearance. You know, he's making all the rounds of all the very popular financial shows, so he finds himself on Legacy Living Financial Strategies this morning. And we're super proud to have Steve Blumenthal as a colleague and a friend, but also as a contributor regularly on our radio show here. So, Steve, hey, welcome to the show. Lots of things going on in the market this week, huh, buddy?
Yeah, good morning, and thanks for having me.
Yeah, I was reading through the first couple of installments in your experience out there at the Strategic Investors Conference. Give us a little flavor, give our listeners a little flavor about what that thing is and who puts that on.
Sure. So John Malden is the most widely read newsletter writer on the planet. He has a big following for a lot of years. He's been a best-selling author with multiple books. And, you know, I always enjoy reading from him, and I work pretty closely with him now as our friendship has grown. So what I like about his conference is that he invites not just one keynote speaker. He might have 10 top keynote speakers from different areas of discipline, ranging from investors to economists that are actually investors as well with money on the line. And then the unique part is that most of them stick around for the course of the four-day conference. And he does this in a way where David Rosenberg, ex-famed Merrill Lynch All-American analyst, now with Glass and Shelf out of Canada, will then be paired with somebody like Dr. Lacey Hunt or Jeffrey Gundlach. And they'll then be on a panel together, and you watch how their views are stress-tested. So it's actually quite good because you get a feel for conviction. So it's a very unique setup. I walk away with my head spinning, and I need some time to step away and digest, but phenomenal, best conference I go to every year.
It does sound like quite a gathering of minds, more or less a think tank, the way they stay around. It's not like some conferences where the speakers blow in, give their talk, and leave. They like to hang around, and iron sharpens iron, so to speak, I guess.
Huh? Correct.
Hey, I want to toss something out to you here to kind of start the discussion. This is something I get off of one of the financial wires. There was a brief article this week. The headline was, "The Fed is about to spark the next recession," and it seems to summarize a lot of what the talk was, at least in your first installment of the of your review of the conference. But let me read this to you real quick. It says, "Investors get ready because it looks like the next recession is on the horizon, and the Fed is set to start it. And we are not talking about a distant horizon. The Fed has now made the task." That has been nearly impossible historically. That is to boost the unemployment rate without causing a recession. They go on to say the odds of failure are very high, and the Fed has never successfully achieved this in its history. The thinking is that they're going to fail because they're too dovish and they let inflation get too high and get out of control, or they're too hawkish. Either way, we don't see a good outcome, these folks say. This cycle might just have crested. Steve, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I'll give you some facts. And this is important to understand, number one, that we go through business cycles. We expand and we contract and we can expand, and that's going to always be. Since 1950, there have been 10 recessions. We typically get 1 to 2 at least every decade. In the last decade, 2000 through 2009, we had 2 recessions. In both of those recessions, the market corrected the S&P minus 50% plus, a little bit more than that. If you were loaded in technology stocks, they went down 75% from 2000-2002. But step away from this for a second. Of all these recessions since 1950, the average decline of the market is roughly 38%. So markets don't do well in recession. That's what we investors need to be most careful of. Since 1950, there have been 13 Federal Reserve interest rate rising cycles. 10 of them have landed us in recession. The other 3 in a pretty good economic slowdown, but not recession. Markets didn't do so well in them. They did worse in the recession periods. So what's particularly significant about this, we've now had 6 with Wednesday's increase. We've now had 6 Fed rate increases. They're talking about increasing rates another couple times this year and 3 times next year. That would put the Fed funds rate, which is the rate they set for banks to borrow from banks, at 3%, and it would kick the 10-year Treasury up to 4 or 5%,
wow,
likely.
Wow.
So, and the hard part this time, I just don't know how this – I believe this Fed interest rate cycle will throw us into recession sooner. So I agree with what you're talking about with that article. And it will put us in recession sooner because, you know, if we're up to our eyeballs in hawk and credit card debt and rates go up, we go higher. If we have short-term adjustable rate mortgages, we're paying more on our mortgages. If we borrowed from the government short-term and rates go up, it's going to cost the government $200-300 billion more in annual expenditures just to finance the debt. So when you're really in debt and rates go up, you have to pay more out of your pocket. It squeezes you. And so that will lead to the next significant slowdown. So I think the next recession is going to be as painful as the last two.
At least that, I'm guessing, from what I'm reading and some comments from out there at the Strategic Investment Conference. I'm talking with Steve Blumenthal this morning and Scott and Jared alongside as well, and Legacy Living Financial Strategies. Steve, you mentioned you know, recession, you know, I'm trying to boil this down for our listeners, like, why does this matter to me? And recession obviously sounds bad, but what does it mean exactly? And you put it in terms of, well, that's when the bad sell-offs in stocks happen. And you've been addressing this for years. In fact, you spoke to the conference out there about forward-looking 7 and 10-year returns. There's a chart that David Rosenberg that you reference put up. One of his slides had the San Francisco Federal Reserve Bank with this quote: current valuation ratios for households and businesses are high relative to historical benchmarks, stating the obvious. They go on to say, we find that the current price-to-earnings ratio predicts approximately zero growth in real equity prices over the next 10 years. This has been a darling topic of yours, Steve, and you look at this and slice and dice in numerous ways. If you would share some of that perspective with our listeners.
Yeah, so we'll try and put this into kind of English. If our starting point is today, which it is, and we're looking at what the value of our $100,000 account is going to be worth in 10 years from now, what the San Francisco Fed is saying is the $100,000 in 10 years from now will be worth $100,000. But if you're pre-retired or retired, which is where 75% of the money is, what do you do? You know, for 10 years, do you need income from that money you saved? What about inflation? That's trying to drive inflation north of 2%. So if you are zero return from here to there, that is not good if you need to live off of some of that money. Or look at it this way. Between today and 10 years from now, 2028, the road that we're going to travel on that $100,000 might be another 50% decline. So now we're needing some income. Our $100,000 might drop to 50 on its way slowly back just to break even 10 years from now, which is what happened from 2000 to roughly 2010. So it's that's kind of what it means in terms of if I just buy the stock market and hold it. So what I like to look at is valuations tell us zero about when the market's going to move from a bull market to a negative bear market cycle. Mm-hmm. But it does tell us pretty accurately what our returns are going to look like for 7 years and 10 years and 12 years. And so what the San Francisco Fed is identifying is expect zero return, compounded return on your money for 10 years. And I think that that's highly accurate. And then you got this recession issue, right? We're late business cycle. You got this recession issue. So that's going to cause some bumps along the way. But if valuations were really attractive, then I would say if we have recession, well, the impact of the market's not going to be quite as painful.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're overbloated and overvalued and your returns, forward returns are not very good like they are today, your risk is actually the highest. That's just when all the biggest declines happen. So it's just our starting point today is, and by the way, this doesn't mean there aren't ways to seek growth and protect your, you know, your backside. There are. And that's what, you know, I recommend. David Rosenberg, the famed analyst, in his presentation said, move 25% to cash. I bet he had a really tough time telling Glufkin's shelf, his investment committee, what he really thought. Move more to cash.
Right.
But 25% is a big number. But what do you do if you're an investor? And then the market did what it did last year and goes up 20%, the S&P. You know, you want to have different sorts of things that can participate. But the most important thing is to protect. Because if you can protect, then you're in a position to take advantage of the epic buying opportunity that's coming on the other side of this.
Right.
So,
yeah, you got to have dry powder on the other side of the storm for sure. And that's what we talk about at Kennedy Wealth Group. If you would like to get your portfolio stress test, if you're one of those pre-retirees or retirees that Steve talked about, and you feel like you want to protect that nest egg, and I mean, who doesn't, right, Scott?
Mm-hmm.
So, and you would like to get a second opinion because you really haven't done anything different this time around, then give us a call over at Kennedy Wealth Group. It's no obligation, no cost to get that that second opinion, and so reach out and do that. You can call us at 217-221-1300. 217-221-1300 here in Quincy, or check us out on the web at kennedywealthgroup.com. We're going to take a break here, but when we come back, I'm going to talk with Steve Blumenthal about a once-in-a-century event, Jared. We're going to dig into that with Steve Blumenthal when we come back on Legacy Living Financial Strategies here on Legacy, on Talk Radio 930 WT80. Favorite all-time bass tags.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. I don't know. Just a little Pink Floyd for you on your rainy Saturday morning. Welcome back.
Seems kind of perfect for it, actually.
It does, really. Yeah, oh, wow, that flag unwound there. It was all wrapped up just a minute ago. That's what 37-mile-an-hour winds will do for you. Good morning. Exactly. Welcome back to Legacy Living Financial Strategies. I'm Jeff Kennedy, Jared Wicks alongside, and Scott Hardy. We got Steve Blumenthal on the line this morning. Good morning, Steve. Glad you were able to stick with us. Still there? Was he able to stick with us?
Hello, I am Steve. Here.
There he is. There he is.
Yes,
okay.
I'm here.
All right, great. Well, Steve is coming with us from snowy Philadelphia this morning. How much snow do you have out there?
Well, the good news is the sun's been out the last couple of days, but we got a little bit more than a foot.
Oh.
Yes. But it's going to be 50 today and sunny.
Hmm. Well, that'll take care of a lot of that. Well, hey,
It's time for spring, really be spring.
Yeah, I know. You guys have been hammered out there, golly. This week I got an email from your office saying, you know, closed again due to a snowstorm. I'm like, how many of those did I get this spring, this winter? So, anyway.
Yeah, I think that might have been the third.
Yeah.
Well, the good thing is that everything cloud-based, so we can all operate as long as the power's not out.
Yeah, that's a good point. Thank you for thanks for the cloud. The cloud makes me nervous in some ways too, though. But just like Google and Amazon are going to own the world, but that's another topic for another day, I guess. And conspiracy theorists.
What do you mean, gonna?
Gonna, right? I know. Well, anyway, hey guys, let's get back on topic here. So, Steve, referring to your notes from David Rosenberg's talk at the Strategic Investment Conference out in San Diego a couple weeks ago. He says, I think he debated on what his topic was going to be. Scotty came up with the year of the dog, I think he said, because that's the Chinese calendar. And the last time it was the year of the dog was 2006, which was the last full year of the last business cycle. Interesting correlation. He says, Steve, his nickname at Merrill back in 06 wasn't Perma Bear, it was Skunk at the Picnic. I never heard that one.
Which was my motivation for the title of that week's piece.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. I mean, if you're Perma Bear is one thing, but Skunk at the Picnic. But here's one thing he pointed out. I'd like for you to comment on it. He talks about this once in a century event where everything went up last year. Is it really that unique of a situation?
Yes. You had bonds making money. You had commodities, gold. You had equities across most sectors. You had the record low in any sort of volatility. You know, how much the market moved up or down. It went a record number of days without a 3% market correction. There are very few days that the market moved up or down less than 1%. It was highly unusual.
We, you've got in here some notes about Alan Greenspan, even who's kind of on the same bandwagon. Just recently, in January of this year, saying there are two bubbles. We've got a stock market bubble and we have a bond market bubble. That kind of goes to that same point where, you know, folks aren't going to necessarily be able to run and hide in the normal places if stocks begin to sell off. What kind of strategies can folks use in a market like this? We say, hey, you need to have some dry powder on the other end of this storm, but what can we do, what can investors do to protect and find themselves in that position to buy more of the hamburgers when they're cheap?
So several ideas. One is quite simple, and I point to one of the all-time great investor traders, a gentleman by the name of Paul Tudor Jones. And he taught a class at UVA, a graduate class, and at the beginning of the semester he would say to the students, I'm going to save you a couple $100,000 in tuition and teach you the most important thing that you need to do in investing. And he said, put a 200-day moving average stop loss on everything you own. Okay, let me explain what that means in layman's terms. I always think of my wife, Susan. What does that mean? So if you look at the price of the market or Amazon or whatever stock you might own or index ETF that you might own or mutual fund that you might own, and you put and look at what the average price has been for the last 200 days, you get this smooth trend line. And when that trend line is going up, the Dow Jones Industrial Average has done 9% a year compounded since 1900. When it's going down, it is done minus 1%. So if stocks break or a stock, Amazon, goes below its 200-day smooth moving average trend line, you get out. So that's a way to risk protect. It might be that you went down 10% or 20%, but you didn't go down 50 or 60%. And then you can still like the stock, but like it better when it's cheaper. So that's one idea. I think, you know, absent any other process, that's a good idea. What I don't like about it is that a lot of big money traders, hedge funds, those sorts of people know that so many people use those rules, and that if everybody's parking their orders right underneath this, you know, get me out orders right underneath the 200-day moving average line, these guys sell on the, you know, short the stock, short the market to drive that out and flush those people out, and then they buy into it the other side. So you tend to get a little bit of whipsaw. We use a number of diverse types of strategies that have different risk triggers, same sort of thinking, rules-based, very disciplined, that are designed to keep you in and give the weight of the evidence to the upside, but also to seek growth, but also to do it in a way that risk protects. There's nothing that is perfect in this business. But the key is you can make a few little mistakes, but you really want to protect against the big mistakes. So I recommend finding several different types of strategies that risk, you know, seek growth and protect, and diversify to those sorts of things. Yes, I'll stop there.
Yeah, what we've got, what we do at Kennedy Wealth Group is just that we have different strategies. So we kind of manage strategies rather, you know, we blend strategies and diversify across strategies that have access to wherever the bull market exists. Right? Warren Buffett is quoted as saying, "There's always a bull market somewhere." So if you just live in one asset class your whole investing life, you're missing out on some of those bull market opportunities, right, Jared? I mean, you got to be able to flex and go to where that bull market exists.
That's right, Jeff. That comes right back around to what we were discussing earlier when we have
correlations. I would add in there
also,
Jeff, is that it also depends on how aggressive an investor might be. So understanding what the goals are, the needs, how much risk you're willing to take. A very good financial advisor can help build a plan that targets a certain return and risk profile.
But if you're super aggressive, then you don't want to be in a moderate or conservative portfolio. There's ways to do that and dial it up and dial it down. So it's important to get a real good understanding going into your investment strategy, what it is you're willing to risk, what sort of returns are appropriate, where you are in your life, what income you need, all those sorts of things. And that's where a good financial coach can help a great deal.
Hey, Steve, one last thing I want to try, and we don't have a lot of time to do this necessarily, but I like this a lot, this Bob Farrell's 10 market rules to remember that David Rosenberg referred to. Pretty amazing stuff here. He says, one of the things I find interesting as kind of a contrarian like he is, the number 9 rule is when all the experts and forecasts agree, something else is going to happen. I think that,
yeah,
with all this euphoria going on the market and so forth. He talks about the public buying the most at the top and the least at the bottom. That's rule number 5, which goes completely contrary to what John Templeton said. You should buy when there's blood in the streets. So these are very good rules. I'll post these on our Twitter feed or whatever that thing is that Kimberly does, that I do, that Kimberly does.
Facebook,
we'll put it there. These are interesting rules here, and the number 1 rule is markets tend to return to the mean over time. And then tying this back to the way we started this conversation, Steve, we're 1, in some cases, 2 or 3 standard deviations above the mean. And he also says when you revert, you don't just stop at the mean. Real quick, thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, so let's put that in layman's terms. The standard deviation simply measures how far away from a trend you are. And when you get 1 standard deviation away, it's kind of a rare event, but it happens, you know, from time to time. When you get to 2, it is extremely rare, and when you get to 3, it's very rare, and we're closer to the 3. But then he's also saying, so if you look at the trend, and the trend over time for markets is higher, well, sometimes you just shoot way up and get too far ahead of yourself, and that's where we are today with prices and overvaluations. And what he's saying is that when it comes back to the reverts back to its mean, which, by the way, would be about a 1,000-point drop in the S&P, that's a big decline.
Ouch.
You know, right. But it typically doesn't stop at the mean. It tends to overreact and go down, which ties to his point number 6, fear and greed are stronger than long-term resolve.
Right.
It's really true.
Right.
So I think it's a good idea to post it. And as a quick, fun story, David Rosenberg's hero is Bob Farrell. When I was a Merrill Lynch institutional advisor and then retail advisor, I had a little squat box on my desk. It was this little speaker box. You turn it up and down. And there were 2 people that as soon as I heard, knew that they were going to be on because we get the schedule, boom, those were the 2 people I'd always listen to. So
oh,
I like
nice.
How he loves Bob Farrell.
Yeah, so you go back a ways with those guys when you started at Merrill in the 80s and got to kind of grow up with those guys. So it's neat to be at a conference now speaking on the same stage with them, I bet, huh?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Thanks for that.
Absolutely. Hey, Steve, we got to run. We're up against a break. And I really appreciate you taking time out of your Saturday morning to spend some time informing our listeners of what was going on. We will be in touch. And, again, thanks for coming on the show.
Well, you're doing great things, and really enjoy your show. And thank you very much for having me.
Thanks a lot, Steve. We'll be right back for the final segment of Legacy Living Financial Strategies. Jared, Scott, and I will wrap it up here up to the top of the hour. Stick with us on WTAD. Talk Radio 930 WTAD. It's Legacy Living Financial Strategies. We're back in. Boy, lots to talk about there, Scott. We just we ran long in that segment, so I want to kind of run fast in this segment. A lot of things to talk about. I wanted to touch on this morning, Jared, this crazy $1.3 $1 trillion omnibus spending bill. We'll have to delve more into that next week, I suppose. But man, oh man, do they keep doing the wrong thing at the wrong time. I heard last night, as some of the analysis was going on this, there's $15 million. Now, it doesn't move the needle, but it all adds up. $15 million going to China to promote yak herding in Mongolia.
Well, my understanding is that yak herding in Mongolia has been suffering as of late, so those are dollars well spent.
Do we seriously care about this? I mean, what in the world are these people doing? What in the world are they doing? And
it is the worst part of compromise. When you look, it's kind of like a husband and wife saying, I want steak for dinner. One says, I want lobster for dinner. And their compromise is they get steak and lobster for dinner, and then they bill somebody else for it.
I like it. I like it. It sounds good. And they enjoy that steak and lobster until there's no more money to buy even ramen, right? And so at some point, we've got to get serious about this, but it doesn't seem like politicians have a stomach for it, so you're going to have to. As you're listening, driving around out there this morning, listening to this radio show, you're going to have to take responsibility for this because there is no adult supervision in Washington. And if you want to protect what you've been saving, you need to do so in the form of getting to the 0% tax bracket or getting as tax efficient as you can. I didn't intend to go here this segment, but I'm going to wrap this up quickly. But because of what happened this week in this omnibus spending bill, you need to take this seriously. There's so much data now that says it's going to be painful and taxes are going to have to go up. And that your IRA, your 401k, that's low-hanging fruit that's never been taxed. Think about it. And if they raise taxes on you, you don't know what you have in that 401k. You don't know how much. You might think you got $1 million. You may think you have two. But who knows, Scott? If rates go up, you got less and less than you got less than you thought. So I think they're going to go up drastically. We'll talk more about that next week, so be sure and tune in. We'll spend a lot of time on the show next week about that. But take control of your future. Do something about it. Call our office, 217-221-1300, and get a copy of that book, The Power of Zero. Hey, Jared, let's just wrap this up. Let's put a bow on today's show with regard to this volatility in the market, strategies that people can use. You guys are working with a lot of folks over there in the Lafayette office to help them get their portfolios truly diversified. Talk a little bit about what those strategies are and how we're protecting folks on a day-in, day-out basis now as we're seeing these valuations at such high kind of nosebleed levels.
Well, Jeff, we're working with a lot of people who have worked for decades, done the right things, saved all of their money, are in a great place for retirement, but they either come in with concerns or we help them understand that all their plans could be shot very quickly when the volatility kicks back in to the market. So we can't just have people just put all their money into CDs paying 0.5%. People want to stay invested. They want to grow their money, but everyone wants, great returns with zero to minimal risk. And while we can't take all the market risk out of an investment portfolio, we're helping to introduce people to strategies that can adapt to a changing market environment. And those adaptations don't require, someone with their finger on the button saying, I think, or this is probably going to happen. And it's a real eye-opener for some people. Some take a little bit longer to understand the mechanics of it, but the philosophy behind it is something that people can really grab a hold of.
Yeah, I want to kind of cap this off with a couple of these rules here that Bob Farrell's 10 market rules. Remember, this guy has been around long, long time. He was a seasoned investor back when Steve Blumenthal was getting started in the business in the early 80s. And He says markets tend to return to the mean over time. So, you know, everything goes in cycles. And if it's at the peak, Scott, it tends to go back toward the trough and vice versa. But he says exponential rapidly rising or falling markets usually go further than you think. I'd say we're probably in that territory at near the top now. But they do not correct by going sideways, Jared. So what he's saying there is, hey, it's not, unless it's totally different this time, which it, his rule number, let's see, which one is it here? He says there are no new eras. Can't find it right off the top here. Oh, number three, rule number three. There are no new eras. In other words, the business cycle always repeats. Excesses are never permanent. So he's saying when it rolls over, it's going to go to and probably through the mean, obviously, to the bottom, and it'll trough out and then come back up. Extreme caution is warranted at this point. And to see what could happen in your portfolio, you should give us a call at Kennedy Wealth Group. We can do this comparative portfolio performance analysis for you that will help you see what the risk is. It's, you could also call, that's a mouthful, comparative portfolio analysis. Let's just call it a stress test on your portfolio. If you'd like to get that proverbial second opinion on your holdings, then we'd be happy to do that for you over at Kennedy Wealth Group. You can get in touch with us at 217. If you call 217-221-1300 here in Quincy, that's 221-1300. Or you can go out to the web, kennedywealthgroup.com, and connect with us there. You can send us an email. Set up an opportunity for you to get that second opinion. Again, it doesn't cost you anything in terms of money. It is going to cost you a little bit in time. As we've discussed, guys, people tend to spend more time preparing for a two-week vacation than they do preparing for a 15 or 20 or 30-year retirement, and that's unfortunate. Understand, accumulation of wealth is not a plan necessarily. It's just accumulation. You need a decumulation plan as well. You need a way to spend that thing, and that's important, and we can help guide you to and through that particular retirement scenario and get that plan in place and help you execute it year by year. Give us a call, 221-1300, and we'll help you with it. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you again next week right here on Legacy Living Financial Strategies.
Join us next week for another edition of Legacy Living with Jeff Kennedy. Every Wednesday at 8:50 and Saturdays at 9. Right here on Talk Radio 930, WTAD.
Registered rep, broker, dealer, Center Street Securities. Member FINRA and SIPC. Advisory services through Center Street Advisors and SEC Registered Investment Advisor. Kennedy Wealth Group and CSA are independent of CSS.